In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Today's sermon is the final segment in kind of like a three-week mini-series on Jesus' parables in chapter 13 of Matthew's Gospel. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the parable of the sower, which lifted up the difference between merely hearing the Word of God, that is, letting it go in one ear and out the other, or on the other hand, truly receiving it in a way that affects us. Last week, we looked at the parable of the weeds and the wheat and explored the mystery of why it is that in God's economy, the negative forces that live both within us and in and around human communities and societies are allowed to flourish alongside the good. Why do we have the good and the bad? Today we are given 5 more parables to ponder. This time they are all focused on helping us grasp what the kingdom of heaven is all about. And then there's a 6th parable hidden at the end of this lesson. And it's this cryptic little saying, at least to us it's cryptic, about scribes who are trained for the kingdom of heaven, which would be easy for us to ignore because what's that all about anyway? But which actually provides the key for understanding the rest of the parables that we are given today. So we have to start there. It's the key to understand what it is that Jesus is doing here when he compares the kingdom of God to a mustard seed, to yeast, to treasure that's hidden in a field, to the pearl of great price. Jesus says that scribes for the kingdom of heaven will be like the master of a household who takes out of his treasure what is old and what is new. In ancient Judaism, scribes were scripture scholars, really. They were people who dug deeply into the Torah and studied its application to legal questions of the day, contemporary legal questions. Remember that in the New Testament times, in the time of Jesus, that is, scripture that they read was as old as the New Testament is to us now. So they were dealing with scriptures that were written in cultures that were unfamiliar to them, and they needed people who would study the scripture and try to apply it to a new day, to contemporary situations, so that the centuries-old traditions of Israel's faith would be made relevant to the next generation and the next generation and the next. So Jesus is saying, when he says, you who would become scribes of the kingdom of heaven, you need to get this. You need to get this new thing. Jesus is telling the crowds that with his coming, with his teaching, the old ways of thinking about the kingdom of heaven, still a valid concept, what we have received from the old, God has transcended and reformed it so that into that old form is poured in the content of something new. And so some old ways of thinking about the kingdom are going to have to change. Now, the old way of talking about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God that Jesus is transforming was that the kingdom would come by force. This was a very clear idea in ancient Israel, that the kingdom of God would come when a Messiah would be risen up out of the people and would militarily defeat whatever empire happened to be oppressing Israel at the time. In Jesus' time, it was Rome. And so when they thought that the Messiah might come, they thought, now is the time. If Jesus is the Messiah, he will raise up an army and will defeat Rome, and will usher in an empire to end all empires. A new age of peace for the world based on the final triumphant rule of God. And this idea, the belief was that this would happen all at once, in one fell swoop. A great cataclysmic battle, and at the end, everything would be set right. So by comparing the kingdom of heaven to a mustard seed and to yeast, Jesus takes the form of this old teaching, as I said, and pours in this new content. The kingdom of heaven isn't like the independent kingdom of Israel, led by a messianic warrior. It's like a mustard seed that someone took and planted in the ground, in his field. It's like yeast that a woman mixes into 3 measures of flour until the whole thing is leavened. I think it's only when we can get inside the heads of those peasant farmers who would have been standing around in the crowds listening to Jesus that we begin to get a sense of how radically new and shocking this idea is. They thought the kingdom would come by force. He says the kingdom is like a mustard seed that someone took and deliberately planted in a field. But here's the problem in their minds. Mustard wasn't something that would ever be recommended for planting deliberately, because it was the kind of plant that reseeded itself hugely year after year after year. If you're from the South, think kudzu. Out here, think bamboo. It doesn't reseed itself, but it sends out shoots, and it's pernicious. Once it gets established, it just grows and grows and grows and expands, and it's hard to uproot. And the reason why this would be problematic, I mean, that's a great image for the kingdom, right? It's tenacious. It's going to hang on once it gets in place. But the reason that it would have been troubling to people is that they understood that the Jewish law forbid the planting of different kinds of seeds in the same field. So why would someone go into their field and plant mustard, because someday they were going to want to plant something else in that field, and they weren't going to be able to, not purely. It would always be mixed with that mustard, because you can never quite get it all out. It's going to spring back up again. So maybe one of the things that Jesus is trying to get us to consider is that we need to mix things together, that the kingdom of God is something that has to infuse the world a bit at a time. And there, the other parables for the day kind of also lift that up. The parable of the yeast kind of suggests to us that it's not going to come all in one fell swoop, but that it's God's way to work by degrees, slowly, invisibly, mysteriously, lifting and creating something which gives life to the world. One of the other parables that's found in this passage is that parable about the net, the dragnet, that goes out and sweeps in one big sweep and pulls in the fish, and it's not until the end, if you look at that, it's not until the end that the good is separated from the bad. So again, it's kind of a reminder, it's a repeat of last week's parable about the weeds and the wheat, and how somehow it is in the nature of God to let the good and the bad be together, to let the kingdoms of this world and their values exist right alongside the kingdom of God that is working among us like yeast, that's working among us like a seed planted deep in the ground, growing slowly but tenaciously. A very different image than the image of the kingdom that was common in the time. There's another image I want to go back to, the mustard seed, which I forgot. Another thing that would have come to mind to those listening to Jesus in first century Palestine is that the mustard plant, even though it was a weed and wasn't something you'd want to plant, it was everywhere. And for something that's going to be everywhere, you're going to try to make the best of it. And in fact, it was known, and the Roman historian Pliny wrote about the fact that mustard had medicinal uses. And so this plant becomes an image of the kingdom of God. Maybe what Jesus is trying to lift up for us is not that God doesn't work by rooting out evil, by taking care of it by violence, by overthrowing, but that God's way is to work underneath, and to grow the new way of being into the midst of our lives until slowly it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So these are the messages of the kingdom of God that Jesus wants us to take, to understand the compassion of God and not the wrath of God, to understand that God takes God's time. Even though many of us watch the evening news and we see a world that sometimes we just wonder, what on earth is happening here? How can it be that evil or destruction is so rampant in the world? Watching the news, it's hard to escape that idea. But I think that the opportunity for us to recognize today is that God's work, God's kingdom, is as pernicious as what we think the evil is, but it's working its way through and among us bit by bit. And when we find it, whether we stumble upon it by like a treasure hidden in a field, or whether we go after seeking it like the pearl merchant who seeks that pearl of great price, when we find it, it's worth everything we have. It's worth everything we have. In a few moments, we're going to turn to the baptism of Nathan Eric Johnson. And I wonder if one of the things we need to teach him as he's growing up in this church, in the community of faith, is that the kingdom of God is God's work. It's very clear from these parables that it's not by our action that God's kingdom comes to fruition in the world. It's by God's action. Our job, though, is to make sure that those little seeds get planted in the fields of the world, that they get planted in the fields of our own hearts, that they get planted in the seeds of our workplaces and our communities of friends, and that we all step back and take and enjoy the wonder as we see it come to fruition.